A happy Saturday morning to you on the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, the water damage whisperer, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, and everything is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. We're going to talk about Bill Curry Ford later. A little different layout of the podcast today, but we do have to let you know, check out those specials at BillCurryFord.com. The July offers are in. Tremendous, transparent pricing. Ask GM Sean Sullivan for that Ira Kaufman discount. You'll get it. Reach out to him. You can find him at the website too, BillCurryFord.com. And Florida's Elite Restoration, thanks to them as well. It's that time of year. Storm damage is around the corner for too many people. Unfortunately, you need a plan. You need Florida's Elite Restoration. We'll talk about them later and all the great things that they have to offer. But get that website in your phone, in your plan, floridaselite restoration.com. It's quiet July, but there's plenty going on with the Bucks. Tristan Wirfs, the surprise news that he went under the knife. We got a lot of angles to hit on that. There's a lot to that and a lot of ways to look at it. But the man here is freaking out. And when a senior citizen does that, you gotta relax and let him go. And that's Ira Kaufman. He wants to make an opening statement. Tampa Bay's Hall of Fame voter. You're fired up on this Saturday morning, Ira.
I'm going to get us going in fine fashion. Now, I called this Camp Tranquility. And now we have I wouldn't even call it a tremor, but we got a ripple in Camp Tranquility. And I'm going to hearken to the words of my compatriot here, Lee DeKemper, about this Tristan Wirfs situation. And it's very simple. And it goes like this. Take it easy. Take it easy, Buck Nation. Take it easy. This is not going to torpedo the 2025 Buccaneers. And if it does, this roster ain't half as good as we think it is. He ain't going to be out for the season. Worst case scenario appears to be the first month. Now, look, there's some tough games on the schedule in the first month. I still don't see any reason they can't go 2-2 without Tristan Wirfs. I'm sorry. Andy Heck, anybody else you want to put in there, you can get by. You can get by. Take it easy, people. Don't go crazy about Wirfs. Don't automatically you're vaulting the Falcons past the Bucks in the NFC. That's a bunch of nonsense. This is a hell of an offense with Wirfs or without Wirfs. It's better with Wirfs. He's arguably the best player on this team. Arguably. But you know what? He's going to be back probably in October. I think maybe even September. Lee, take it easy. These people are freaking out for no damn reason. That's my statement.
I don't disagree. I don't even know if Wirfs is going to miss a game. The Bucks have until August 30th if they're going to put him on the PUP list.
That's not a certainty.
No, nothing's a certainty right now. That's what I said. I don't know that he's even going to miss a game. A lot can happen in 6 weeks, roughly 6 weeks. A lot can happen. Let's see. You know, I haven't heard a doctor come out and say, well, no, this, you know, what's this David Chow guy?
Yeah.
Dr. Chow?
He's always weighing in on people.
Yeah, yeah.
Never looks at a chart of the patient, and he's weighing in on it.
Yeah, I haven't heard him weigh in yet about...
You think every knee injury is the same? Absolutely not.
No, of course not. And let me defend Dr. David Chow, who is sort of the ex...
Why, is he your personal doctor over here?
No, he's the ex-Chargers team physician. Ooh. And he's sort of made...
Made a cottage
industry about interpreting NFL injuries just based on what's reported. So let's face it, nothing's been reported on Wirfs other than he went in Tuesday for arthroscopic surgery because his knee wasn't getting better, or we don't know exactly what.
Setbacks.
This is not an ACL, young man.
And they and they found more stuff.
All right.
So that's not something for a doctor to interpret. They found more stuff. Nobody revealed what is actually wrong with him. So Lee's right. It's a complete unknown.
Can you look at a chart, Joe? Can you look at a man's chart before you weigh in?
What kind of chart?
We don't know if he's going to be out a month or not, but I haven't gotten a text from anyone with the Bucks saying, this is nonsense, Wirfs will be back. There's been no pushback in the underhanded ways that this stuff happens, you know, where, you know, an agent reaches out saying, hey, don't be saying this about my client. So it seems like there's something serious going on, and the Bucks will learn more later. Ira, you mentioned those first four games. The Bucks open at Atlanta, then they go to
Houston on a Monday night.
Monday night. They come back for the Jets, and then the Eagles. So let me put it to you this way, because I think it's fair what you said. Bucks fans shouldn't freak out. And same question for Lee. What did you think before Wirfs' injury? What did you expect the Bucks record to be after those four games?
I think probably 3-1. I thought 3-1. I thought they might lose at Houston. I still think they can go 2-2. And here come all the conspiracy people, all the sinister people.
Sinister.
What did the Bucks do? They screwed this whole thing up. Shame on the Bucks. Get rid of the medical staff. Hey, they tried rest, and it didn't work, Lee. It didn't work. I'm not killing anybody over this.
Lee, what'd you have as the Bucks record first four games?
I didn't.
Didn't think.
No,
think
I didn't.
Okay.
But the first game, Atlanta, rookies.
I'm worried about James Pierce, that nut job that they gave up a number one pick for. Now, he's salivating because he don't have to go up against Wirfs. I understand that. They'll shift a little attention over to Wirfs' side. That's
yes.
what they do.
Yes.
And they got a good offensive line coach.
And well, not just that. They've got how many weeks to prepare for week one? I mean, come on. And the way some people don't like Ben Bredesen, if you take these people as gospel, I don't, but let's say you do, well, that suggests the Bucks' best, the strongest point element of their offensive line is the right side.
They've won games without Tristan Wirfs, Steve. Then they spanked the Giants. I don't think Wirfs played in that game. They spanked them.
Well, the Giants are not the greatest example.
Well, they do have a good defensive line.
But
yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's
bottom
right.
line is, so you say, Ira, that 3-1 is what you predicted, and I think most Bucks fans are in agreement with you.
Because Bowles has done that.
Although I had to look at you twice thinking you thought they would lose. Yeah, they should probably lose to Houston with Philadelphia on their schedule.
So what? They do very well against Philadelphia. Mm-hmm.
I understand, but the bottom line is you're saying that this loss of Wirfs for four games.
Maybe.
If he goes four games, that's one victory out.
Maybe I go from 11 wins to 10 wins. Maybe. If he's out for 4 weeks.
All right, so that's not the end of the world. No. So that doesn't warrant a freak out. I'm not freaking out. Look, the Bucks went into this knowing that Tristan Wirfs, in his five seasons, has played two full seasons. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the reality. He's missed about...
Five or six games?
Yeah, I think it's six or seven games.
All right.
And, you know, obviously he was hurt during some games, had to come out. But Charlie Heck, not Andy Heck, who you said.
Andy Heck's the father, yeah.
He's the Chiefs offensive line coach.
So this guy's 6'8", right?
He's
six
huge.
Eight.
He's 6'8". He's about 315, 320. He came into the league out of the combine at like 310, got heavier, and then remade his body. I read a couple of stories about that.
He might be a pretty good runner blocker.
Looks that way.
And yeah, he might be.
You know, he's a big, big dude, but he's getting killed on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Pat Kerwin.
Breaking his film down.
They're looking at him. You know, Pat Kerwin thinks he stinks, and he even, you know, ranted. And they never really criticize guys too much, but he ranted a little bit, and then he dropped, sorry, Charlie.
This is the guy who didn't like Hainsey from the start.
That's true.
Didn't like Hainsey from the start.
That's true.
But he turned around on Hainsey, and then he jumped off him. So forget that for a minute, Ira. So you mentioned the medical side of this. Okay, a lot of fans all over social media been going bananas saying, how did the Bucks screw this up?
We knew he had an issue. We knew he had an issue.
Yeah.
All right, take it from there.
He had a knee issue, let's call it 6 months ago in December, the end of the season.
But he played.
6.5 months. So he played through it and had a knee issue going on at OTAs, right? He was wearing this giant knee brace, working with trainers, jumping around, a lot of video on it. And then all of a sudden, you know, four weeks later, he's under the knife. I think it's fair to say that the Bucks botched this to some degree. I don't know what that is. And, of course, Wirfs decides whether he's going to have surgery or not. But it sure doesn't feel like it was handled perfectly.
Well, Steve,
their
best medical information at the time was to try to let him rest it. That was their information at the time.
Well, here's what I was going to ask Steve, just for clarification.
Sure.
When you say the Bucks have been mismanaged, are you referring to the hierarchy or are you referring to the medical staff?
I don't know. I really don't know. Obviously, the medical staff is in charge, mm-hmm. but the hierarchy pressures the player if the player's on the fence. And let's go to one of Lee's favorite players, Servassier Dennis. It's been acknowledged by the Bucks hierarchy and Dennis himself that what he had corrected this offseason via shoulder surgery was an issue for him when he left college. So did somebody screw that up? I don't know. Am I blaming the Bucks? Am I blaming maybe Dennis was scared of surgery? Maybe it's something in between. I don't know.
Here's my take on it and see if this is fair. There's an undercurrent I have where people are suggesting Bowles is conning people. We got this on Twitter. I'm going to guess when Bowles said during minicamp that he'll be ready for training camp, it was based on the information his medical staff told him.
That's right.
I think that's fair to say that.
Yes.
I don't think Bowles is a con artist. Will he dodge? Sure. Most coaches will. But I never thought that Bowles was inherently a con artist.
Why would Bowles say that if he didn't believe it? Now Bowles looks bad.
So I'm just
wouldn't say it if he didn't believe it.
I think he believed it. It doesn't mean somebody now, didn't screw up on some level somewhere.
Well, that's what I mean. I think the Bucks, rightly so, were probably going by the advice of the medical staff. I guess worse, maybe whoever told him, or maybe he just got fed up with it and said, hell with it, I'll have surgery to get it done.
Steve.
By the way, there was the key word that was used in these articles is a word that either people are missing or overlooking. Setbacks. When any doctor can predict setbacks, he's going to be a very rich man. So setbacks, to me, is the key word. He had setbacks, and really, no one can predict those.
Steve, is it fair to suggest that the Bucks should have urged Worfs to have the procedure when he couldn't work out at the OTAs? Do it then. Do it a month ago.
Well, like Lee said, we don't know what happened, but I think we have to take that a couple of steps further on not knowing what happened.
Because he rested it for months at that point. And he was still having an issue.
We might find out when training camp opens and news conferences happen. We might find out that Tristan Wirfs went to two different specialists around the country in the last couple of months and got differing opinions.
What's going on with Joel Embiid? His injuries are much more severe than Wirfs, but they can't get his knee right.
Knowing the Tampa Bay market, Ira, there are probably several people listening to you right now that are sort of like me and have no idea who this guy is, although I have heard of him.
One of the five best players in basketball.
Well, not everybody's an NBA guy.
Yeah, I understand.
And remember, Isbeth here corrects me whenever I mention Woody Hayes.
There's a lot of NBA fans, Lee. There's a lot of NBA fans.
In this area?
Well, I think so.
There are, just not as many as other areas. I was going to say the same thing, though, that Lee said, Ira, so I'm backing my guy over there.
There you go.
Bottom line is there's more information is going to come out. So all the people killing the Bucks should have done this, should have done that. They screwed up. The doctor screwed up. We don't know. We don't know if we find out that Wirfs was up in Canada in April getting some specialist. And then he was, maybe he was in wherever they go to, like Guam, to get stem cells.
Steve, why would you think a setback for Tristan Wirfs, which I'm calling a slight setback,
Slight setback is
going to wreck the Bucks season. I don't see it. I think that's a total overreaction.
I don't think it's going to wreck the season, but
it's not great news.
It's scaring people.
It's scaring people.
And part of what's scaring people is, aside from not knowing Charlie Heck, there are the guys behind him, and that's going to scare people. That injury and what comes next, Ira.
You know when you do panic? If you don't see him till week 13, then panic can set in. Then you're in trouble.
We enjoyed your anti-panic address, Ira.
There you go, Ira. Is this partially because people are still embracing Black Sabbath's final song, Paranoid?
I hope not, Lee. A Black Sabbath reference from you is not unusual.
Well, they're
in
the news.
I got Bette Midler, you got Black Sabbath.
They're in the news. They did their final show.
I hear you.
Freedom Summer right now, Ira, at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Bill Curry Ford is Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships. Family-owned since 1960, Ford-certified gold pre-owned models, 4.9% APR for 72 months. Many more things going on during the Freedom Summer event at Bill Curry Ford. Get to BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name, the Curry family, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Ask for that Joe Bucks fan discount to GM Sean Sullivan. Check out their mobile service. You can make an appointment online. They'll do service at your home. Used vehicles, transparent pricing, BillCurryFord.com. Don't worry, drive Curry. All right, Ira, look, going to read four names to you, okay? And I apologize for any mispronunciations here. These are important names around Tampa right now, okay?
Are you taking this off the depth chart? Is that what you're doing?
Benjamin Chukwuma.
Keep going.
Undrafted rookie. Now, these guys have been in the NFL the next three, but they haven't played a real snap. Silas Zanzi. Garrett Greenfield and Raekwon O'Neal.
Boy, you've butchered three names over there.
I think I did all right. Those are the four guys.
Probably better than I would have.
Behind Tristan Wirfs' backup, Charlie Heck, and none of them have played a snap. So we know now that the Bucks cannot go into the start of an NFL season out of tackle with any experience behind your backup.
And they won't.
You're
saying a move's coming.
I'm with Ira on this.
You can get a veteran tackle.
Thank you.
A late in training camp.
Yes.
You know, a money issue for another team, and you swoop in, and you tell Greenberg to rework the numbers, and Greenberg does it, I'm not saying you're going to get an all-pro tackle. You're talking about a backup to a backup. But you don't go in with those four names that you just butchered. You don't do that.
I believe the year was 2016. DeMar Dotson got hurt in training
camp.
My
man, DeMar Dotson.
15.
Was it 15? Okay, got hurt in training camp. Bucks went out and got a veteran by the name of, speaking of butchering names, Gosder. Is it Gosder?
Gosder
Chehrless. And he indirectly helped the Bucks win a Super Bowl.
Later on, he stunk.
He stunk out loud, but to this day, Ali Marpet and Donovan Smith, if you bring up his name to them, they worship the man. He took those guys under his wing. Now, he was an a-hole, no question about it. He tried to get me thrown out of the locker room after a game once, and Chris Kane.
He's got plenty of company there, really. There's about six
well,
other bucks.
No one's ever tried it. This guy tried it. Tried to get me thrown out of the game or out of the locker in post game.
Anthony Collins did that to me post game.
Oh, Zara tried to get. He did get you thrown out?
He told other players not to talk to me for no reason.
This is a guy who couldn't put the bong down, so consider the source. But if you talk to Ali Marpet and Donovan Smith, they absolutely raved about the guy that he taught them how to be a pro. So
what are you laughing about?
Even though this guy stunk and he was a revolving door.
Turnstile.
No, even better. Swinging saloon doors. He was a pair of swinging saloon doors in Dallas. But he helped Ali Marpet and Donovan Smith, and those guys went on to help the Bucks win a Super Bowl.
You think White's going to look at that depth chart now and do nothing?
I'll tell you why I think he's going to do nothing for a little while. But I do have to mention, Lee was pounding on Chehrless there. Poor guy. I do have to mention.
Isn't that the guy you spit on a stewardess or did something?
Because it's one of the more funny stories of the past year.
All I remember is he was awful. That's all I remember.
Last summer, he was on a Delta Airlines flight and was arrested for allegedly urinating on another passenger.
Come on.
No, that did happen.
Saying, so he's still showing his leadership skills, Lee.
What? How to drain his vein?
Oh, my God.
It was Boston to Dublin.
Boston to Dublin?
I guess there was a misunderstanding.
Yeah, I'd say.
Have you ever heard of the men's room?
He is like 6'6", so maybe he didn't have room in there. They're kind of tight.
Let's get back to worse over here.
On an airplane, they're a little tight quarters.
Let's get back.
So, look, bottom line.
You said Light's going to wait.
I think Light's going to wait because, number one, Charlie Heck filled in for Wirfs all through the spring. He was in attendance. Mm-hmm. He was taking all the first team reps because Wirfs' knee was, they were just being careful. So they've gotten a good look at him without the pads.
They know his weaknesses.
Well, I'm not sure about that, without the pads. But they now are going to get to look at him in the pads. And I think before you make this move that you're talking about adding a veteran, don't you want to see how good Heck really is? Because maybe you want to sign a veteran who's actually better than Heck. If you think, man, this guy's not so great. So I think you got to gauge through.
He'd have to be off abysmal that you think that you can't get past 3 or 4 weeks with the guy.
That's the point.
That'd be disappointing.
Let's see him play. They may want to look at him in two preseason games and say, we got to get a $4 million guy instead of a $1 million guy. and I think that's realistic.
There's too much riding on this season, Lee, for inaction. There's too much riding.
Absolutely.
This is not a 5-12 team looking like the Panthers to climb up the ladder at 3 years from now. It's not that way.
But you know what? I guess it's possible that one of these guys who never got a shot is pretty good. Justin School, who a lot of fans are now turning into,
Anthony Munoz. Yeah, yeah.
superstar. They're turning into Gosder Chehrless, a 13-year veteran who landed on the Bucks. They're celebrating this guy who, let's not forget, School, who played 4 games last year for Gedeki, 4 starts, and 1 for Wirfs. He had no experience going into last season other than just being around the Bucks for a little bit. So he was okay. They had a top-level offense with him playing 5 games.
But it is the blind side protector, Lee, and you got Mayfield. This is serious stuff. But
you can always go max protect.
There's ways to get around this.
I'm not trying to minimize losing the best left tackle in the game.
Ira is.
This is not Ryan Jensen for the season. It's not.
It's not. And what I'm getting at is they've got a damn good offensive line. Damn good. Worse is going to sting, no question about it. But it's not like they have 4 stiffs playing on line without Worse. They've got a damn good offensive line.
Offensive line question, Ira. Does the Worse situation change the way you handle the rest of the offensive line in the summer out of maybe injury fears or I don't want them on the field. We can't afford another injury. Mm. Does that change anything from training camp till opening day? Does that change how you handle those other guys? Let's be real here. Another injury, which could happen, would be catastrophic.
My answer is this, Lee. I don't think they were going to play a lot anyway. Oh. I don't think the first unit guys. What I think Steve was going to ask me, which I think is interesting, in the wake, let's say he's out 4 weeks.
In the wake.
Do they run the ball more? Thinking Heck's a better run blocker than he is a pass protector. And
minimize
the injury factor to Mayfield.
Yeah, that's fair.
And you know what? I don't mind it because you still got Bucky Irving. You still got him.
Yeah, I think that's being a little too paranoid. Apologies to Tony Iommi. That's being a little paranoid. Again, the Bucks have a really good offensive line, and I wouldn't change the entire system just because you lose worse. What I would do, to Steve's point, I'd baby Gerke. You know, that was a nasty concussion he had last year, losing four games.
You ain't going to see Gerke much in the preseason.
A numbers question for you. Last year, when school filled in for Gerke at right tackle, four starts, the Bucks averaged 23.5 points a game. On the whole season, they averaged 29.5 points a game. That's a six-point difference. However, if you look at it in the broader scope, it's really like an eight-point difference per game. Does that mean anything to you or too small a sample size?
I'd like to know who they were playing those weeks. Maybe they were playing some good defenses. Maybe.
They were. Denver was in there.
I don't see a six-point drop-off without Wirfs. I mean, that's significant. Because they always play one-score games. Like you've been saying that. And there's no reason to think they won't do it again. I still think you got to step on Atlanta's neck week one.
Yeah.
I don't think that changes a thing in that regard.
Agreed.
James Pierce, bring him on.
Now, we hate the Falcons here, Ira. How much more pressure, how much more pressure does the loss of Wirfs put on the Falcons for what's going on in their building?
Well, I think they breathe a nice sigh of relief, especially Pierce.
Yeah.
You know, who was going to get his clock cleaned by Wirfs in week one, because I don't think he's got a lot of variety of moves. I think there's a lot of pressure on Atlanta in week one. Having blown a three-game lead with only half a season left. How do you blow a three-game lead and finish two games behind?
That's not easy. You get your quarterback hurt.
Well, you like Penix.
I like Penix, but he was still a rookie. Last year, if you asked any coach who would you rather have starting, Penix, a greenhorn, or Kirk Cousins, they'd take Cousins.
I still think the biggest reason for my confidence in the Bucs repeating again, ad nauseum, as division champs, they got a huge advantage at quarterback. Penix, we'll see. Bryce Young, we'll see. New Orleans, rookie, we'll see. You got Baker Mayfield. That's a huge advantage. Huge.
For all our draft-loving folks out there, I know they're screaming, Atlanta also got Jalen Walker.
Yeah, they did.
Who may be better than your Tennessee guy that you keep screaming about, Pierce.
Yeah.
And they also signed Leonard Floyd. So they did load up on edge rushers. It's not just one rookie coming in to try to take advantage. Josh Grizzard, scare you more about Grizzard. Now he's got a whole nother thing to worry about, covering for a potential weakness, figuring out how to balance that, talking to Mayfield to figure and get a sense of, will Mayfield play differently because he has a little fear about what's going on. Let's face it, Mayfield dropped back to pass. He knew he had the very best in the game. That's got to give a quarterback some comfort.
And he had a damn good guy on the right side, too. I think those discussions are going to happen, Lee, in the next month about the Wirfs injury and the impact, short-lived, on the offense. You'd be naive to say it doesn't have any impact. You're substituting Heck for Wirfs, and you're going to operate the same exact way. I think you got to make some concessions. I'm with you, though. You don't change your whole offense.
No. Wirfs did not play against the Giants, correct?
I believe that's correct.
Mayfield lit it up against the Giants. And I'll say once again, the Giants had, and even better this year, they had a hell of a defensive line.
Even better this year.
I understand where you're going, Steve, but I can't go with
that. Some people are thinking Mayfield's going to roll right more. Let him roll right.
He would anyway, wouldn't he?
Well.
All right, Ira. We got more to talk about on Wirfs and some of those angles. We got a Jamel Dean nugget from Lee.
Why are you depressing me?
I've got something from Jameis Winston.
I got a pecan roll. I'm in a good mood, and you bring up Jamel Dean.
Eat your breakfast. We'll be back. Florida's Elite Restoration, they are former insurance adjusters now on your side to handle every step of the restoration process after a disaster in your home. That matters. They know the other side of the business. They know how to get your money, get your property restored, get what's coming to you. And of course, they're a one-stop shop. Florida's Elite Restoration can do the restoration, the repair, the replacement, whatever it is you need. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Get to their website so you're prepared, so they are in your disaster plan. They're a family-owned business, 5-star Google reviews. You can schedule your free inspection of what's going on at your property. If you have fire, flood, mold, storm damage, water damage is a killer. Ira's the water damage whisperer. Mention Joe Bucks Fan when you first call. And if you need their services after that free inspection, if you got to move forward, they'll give you a $500 discount. That's cash for your deductible or maybe just cash back. If you're paying out of pocket, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Trust them. We do. Ira, one thing I'm going to tell you later, I'll explain the context, but Jameis Winston is now calling himself, referring to himself.
Do I want to hear this? Am I going to want to hear this?
Well, it's kind of funny. I didn't write it up for Joe Bucks Fan yet, but he's calling himself the Black Drew Bledsoe. Now, Lee, what do you got on Jamel Dean? I'll explain a little later, Ira.
Drew Bledsoe, that's your best role model?
I'll explain later.
That's the guy who damn near won a Super Bowl. You know, that's not so bad. Okay, here we go, Ira. A commenter on Joe Bucks Fan brought this up, and I thought it was a very fair question. This commenter asked, you guys are ragging on Jamel Dean for missing so many games. How come you give such a pass to Winfield? He missed more games last year.
That's 1 year.
Well, your reaction.
I'll give you my reaction, Lee. When Winfield's healthy, he's a hell of a player.
He's no pro.
When Dean's healthy, I think he's average. You think he's good. I think he's average. Bowles wants ball hawks. He don't qualify. Never has, and I don't think he ever will. Ball hawks. Morrison could be a ball hawk. Maybe.
We don't know.
Maybe. Based on his college. Maybe. I'm not putting Winfield and Dean in the same sentence. I'm not doing it, Lee. And I don't think you're comfortable doing that either.
Well, here's my comeback. Cornerback is slightly more important than safety.
Yeah. Winfield had a forgettable season. There's no question about it.
Actually, for me, it's just the opposite. I'm just getting triggered thinking about it. I mean, I like Winfield, but if he was that hurt, he shouldn't have been on the field.
Well, it's a fair question. Winfield missed four games in 2021, four games in 2022, had a legendary 2023 season, and missed eight games last year. It's fair. What's also fair
is when he plays, he's an impact player.
Yeah, correct. He's all pro.
Correct. I'm not arguing anything. I'm just putting the numbers out there. I would throw a dart instead of at Winfield. I'd throw it at Clyde Jucansi.
Oh,
you can't keep missing five games a year, starting late and working your way back and missing training camp.
But you're not challenging my main point. My main point about Jamel Dean is not his lack of durability. I don't think he's that good when he plays.
All right.
And with Kansi, by the way, when Kansi comes back, he comes back. As in, he doesn't get off the field.
I understand.
Well, wait a minute. The PFF tribe doesn't like him, Lee.
They don't like him. That's why the PFF tribe's the PFF tribe.
But Kansi's also, when he's in street clothes watching the game, he's eating that popcorn. You know, I mean, a missed game's a missed game for me. All right, Ira, well, you got to slap a number on this. If you're going to say Jamel Dean, you don't think he's that good, among the number one cornerbacks in the NFL, the 32 of them, where do you put him? Does he even make your top 32?
Well, I'm not sure about your premise. I'm not sure he's ahead of McCollum.
Not sure.
As the number one cornerback.
Well, let's just say, is he in your top 32 NFL cornerbacks? It's no premise. It's a question.
There's 64 starting corners.
Yeah, is he a top 32?
He's 34.
Great number choice.
He's not 59. He's 34.
Great number choice.
There you go.
All right, we're not going to get into another Jamel Dean argument, but the Sage, for those who haven't listened to Ira in a while, the Sage believes Dean is on relatively thin ice because if he doesn't have a strong camp and he's making big money, the Bucks may look to sit his ass down or move on.
Let's not panic over this Worf situation, Lee.
Nobody's panicking.
Let's not panic.
Not here.
Never.
We panic. Well, there were plenty of freak out. All right, so I did tease Jameis calling himself the Black Drew Bledsoe. I haven't written this up yet for JoeBucksFan.com. It's one of the fun...
Put that in context for me.
I'm about to.
Is he starting a winery?
No. Lee and I always squirrel away things like this to publish. So he did a podcast with Lewis Murphy, former Buccaneer.
Former Buck.
Guy from St. Pete. Great guy. This is back in the Super Bowl.
When Jameis was the king of New Orleans Super Bowl week, right? He was everywhere.
Yeah, king of comedy, yes.
All right.
Lewis Murphy, who pays very close attention to the league, local guy, like I said, he asked Jameis, who are your top five quarterbacks? And Jameis gave his top five.
You mean playing now? Or?
Yeah, right now. Murphy says, ooh, what about Baker Mayfield? Mm. And for Lewis Murphy, Baker Mayfield is entered the top five.
Wow.
And Jameis said Mayfield is absolutely top 10.
Yeah,
and that's where Jameis put him. And then Murphy was talking about the comeback story of Mayfield and why he likes him and in Tampa and the connection and what he's done for Tampa. And then Jameis says, well, you know, he resurrected Tampa. I love that story, too. And they said, well, wait a minute. Well, no, he didn't resurrect him. Tom Brady was there and blew the town away and did all this and that. He's like, you know, that's why I'm the Black Drew Bledsoe. Now, he was explanation was that Tom Brady took over for Drew Bledsoe after Bledsoe fell out of favor and got injured, and Bledsoe didn't play anymore for the team. So in Jameis's mind, Brady took over for him, you know, and he was Drew Bledsoe. And so it was kind of funny. There you go.
Come on, Jameis. Come on. Bledsoe had a serious injury. It's a big time injury. I think it was right by the sidelines. Yeah. He got hit.
Yeah, sure. Jets game.
Yeah, I forgot who hit him, but somebody laid a lick on him.
Yeah.
I think it was Marvin Jones, but
I think
you're
right. I think you're right.
That long could time. Be right.
But anyway, Jones. Fun stuff from Jameis.
The Black Drew Bledsoe. You know, I'm fascinated by Winston's post-Buck career. I'm fascinated. Why he couldn't get a number one job and keep it somewhere, mm-hmm. is beyond me. Well, and he kept re-signing with the Saints behind a guy who never got hurt until last year, Derek Carr.
Part of it is he plays for defensive coaches and defensive coaches, unfortunately, they think interceptions are more important than touchdowns.
Well, Lee, his records in Tampa, I mean the team record, mm-hmm. which, you know, I think it's fair to chalk that up in some extent to a quarterback, to some extent, and a head coach. Those are the two exceptions I make. Mm-hmm. I'm not blaming the right guard for a team going 6-11. I'm not doing that, so I don't think that's fair.
I'll say this about Jameis, which is a little bit goofy to me. As fans may forget, 2021, he was the starter for the Saints. He went 5-2. Devin White, our own Devin White, blew his knee out. That was it. So he was playing well. Sean Payton sort of had him playing very conservative, cutting the picks and all that. He actually had 14 TDs, 3 interceptions.
So he was very effective.
He was effective. And then he got hurt. He lost his job. He came back the next year. At 2023, he hung around. Payton was gone. But what really struck me was Sean Payton hasn't brought him to Denver, and he knows the offense, and he's, you know, allegedly a great guy and all this other stuff, and that's not what happened. So he's with the Giants. He'll get his shot this year in that weird situation, although it's probably rigged against him with Russell Wilson getting the job.
You know, when the book is finally written about Jameis Winston's pro career, it's going to be an interesting book. There were some highs. There were some highs. And, Lee, you always go back to that 5,000 yard. That's not easy.
No.
That's not easy.
Was he a tease that he played good enough just to think, man, he's right there?
Well, I'll say one thing. I'm not going to blame Light for drafting him first overall.
No.
Because any team that needed a quarterback would have taken either Winston or Mariota. And Winston was better than Mariota.
Yeah.
He was better.
Whatever that story is when it's written, Ira, I have a feeling it's going to include the Savannah Bananas and Jameis pitching for them or playing outfield or something.
Here's his perfect career move. He would make so much money doing this. Wrestling heel.
I could see
perfect.
It. I could see
he'd
it.
He'd be perfect. With that personality, he'd be perfect.
He'd have to really hit the gym, though.
He'd need a nickname. And he got to have a nickname.
Maybe, but, you know, he'd walk around, Heisman Trophy winner and all. He'd be perfect with that personality.
You know, the one thing about Winston that I can't forget, Lee. I can't forget it. And, again, he was going to be the number one pick. Mm-hmm. I understand it. We see the games. First year, he was sensational.
At Florida State?
Yeah. The second year, I watched, Lee, and I've said it before. I've watched 3 or 4 games against much weaker opponents where at the half, the Noles are losing 14-3. They end up winning by 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
Winston throws 2 first-half interceptions. They get lost in the shuffle. Uh-huh. Nobody talks about it. He didn't play nearly as well that second year as the first year.
He played well, but not like that first year.
Not
first
like
year
that
was
first year. Again, that's not enough that I'm not going to draft the guy. You know, so I'm not going to kill light on
For example,
that.
Dan Marino had a lousy second year as a starter.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's why he slipped, right? That's why he slipped.
Well, that and the rumors.
It's not that long ago, but times have changed a little bit. I mean, Jameis was drafted at 21 years old. So he's 18, 19 years old when you're talking about him there. You know, still developing and just a different time.
Since you brought this up, but this will trigger people. This guy has a podcast, and he was saying he was so fired up when Jameis and Florida State won the national championship. He was running around the bars, tomahawking everybody. Guess who that was?
Ozzy Osbourne.
Sort of close.
The guy from AC/DC?
No.
Oh, all right, who?
Johnny Football.
Johnny Football. Wow, Johnny Football. Talk about a guy who didn't make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got some good guests on that podcast. You know who's got a podcast now, Ira? It's a long list, obviously. Ndamukong Suh has a podcast.
Isn't he giving financial advice,
yeah,
Steve?
It's a mix of stuff. He's not giving hardcore advice, but yeah, a little bit.
He's a pretty good entrepreneur, right?
He's not breaking down Formula One stock?
No, it's not a
I'm surprised he hasn't made you an offer for Joe Buck's fan. Steve, I'm a little concerned. Hey, by the way, next year is my 10th year, Steve. That could be the right time to bow out. We'll talk. I'm laying the foundation over there.
Ira's at his fourth retirement in the last 3 years. Unbelievable, Sage. You're a piece of work. Hey.
A raise could be a factor.
Number 10, right?
Yeah.
Sage, you are Tampa's Hall of Fame voter. We mentioned Ndamukong Suh. He's pretty much a slam dunk for the Hall of Fame. He's not a first ballot guy, but you look at his
body work,
his durability, his numbers. Unbelievable. So somebody's got to present him. Is it going to be you? Because he played here 3 years. He wasn't too popular or happy in Miami. And he started his career in Detroit, but that's not really where he won his Super Bowl. And he was in L.A. a bit of a mercenary there. What do you think?
I think one of the first things you got to talk about is his durability. It's off the charts.
I think he missed one game or two games.
I mean, it's really incredible.
Well, the only games he missed, he was suspended, right?
Possibly. And Lee, the same argument I used for Ronnie Barber. Doesn't mean he didn't get hurt. He played through it. He played
through his durability was just absolutely
incredible. I don't know about a slam dunk, Steve. You know, I don't like that word, slam dunk. But he's got strong credentials.
All-decade player, three-time.
All-decade player matters.
Three-time all-pro.
That matters more than Pro Bowls. It does.
Super Bowl. Who makes that call, though, on who gets to present the guy if he becomes a finalist?
Maybe Sue.
There's no rule at the Hall?
Well, with a guy that's bounced around like that, I think you got to run it past Sue. Who's he comfortable with?
Interesting.
All right, we'll get him on the line.
I also have a birthday coming up, Steve. Don't forget
about
that.
Big birthday. Yeah, it's a Monday. I've been studying your birthday.
Don't worry.
It's a Monday. I know you take it very seriously. After the show, we're heading over to Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Ford certified gold pre-owned models, 72 months, 4.9 APR financing. Freedom Summer is going on now at Bill Curry Ford, third generation family dealership. That means so much when you have that family touch and you can talk to the owners and general manager, Sean Sullivan, who's a great friend of ours. He's like family. He loves Bucks fans. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. He will give you the Ira Kaufman discount. And they are buying vehicles, Ira, paying over Kelley Blue Book value. Your car, your truck is never worth more than it is right now. BillCurryFord.com.
I told you what my first vehicle was. 1974 red AMC Gremlin. Lasted me about 6 months. The whole engine fell apart.
I had a friend that had a Gremlin.
A Gremlin. Doesn't that fit me, Steve?
It does. A nice small vehicle. You get right in there easily.
By the way, before we get into this last quarter.
And we got some interesting training camp nuggets to hit on.
I got a training camp nugget. You know, and it's a maudlin note.
Sad.
It's going to be a little differently because Kevin O'Donnell won't be around.
Yeah?
Kevin O'Donnell's been on that Buck thing.
Who is that guy?
Fox 13, sports reporter.
Forever.
30 years, whatever. Fred Goodall, not going to be around. You know, my old rival when I was with UPI.
He's the AP beat writer for the Bucks, or was.
Yeah, and then I think we missed Jeff Tewksbury last training camp.
There's another one you're missing. Dan Lucas.
Yeah, big changes.
And he, of course, is very well known to fans as the WFLA sideline voice of preseason Bucks football. He is gone. Have you heard who they have to replace him?
Yeah. Can I throw my name into the mix over here?
The Bucks aren't smart enough for that. Come on.
I can interview Mike Evans on the sideline.
Yeah, training camp coming up. It's not going to be too maudlin, Ira. There'll be new people there. Some of those national people you love so much coming in.
I see you wrote up another story, and I salute you for it, Steve, about training camp and Buck fans.
As of now, tickets are still available for the three open dates to fans. But, Ira,
you have done some research,
my friend. I did the 5 hours of research.
Look at that.
Over many, many days. And 26 NFL teams, 26, have free training camp dates open to the general public. Four of them have an entry fee for the ones open to the general public. Panthers have no open training camp because their place is under construction. And the 49ers haven't released any information yet.
Okay.
So the Bucks are in that camp of the four teams that are charging, including all the fees, everything. It's $10.75. If you want to get into training camp. So
you think that's a major reason why tickets are still available?
Family of three, you multiply that, it's $32 to get into camp.
Well, compare that to Disney.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not saying it's too expensive, but for some people, it might be, considering if it's rained out and the team decides not to go indoors, you know, you're out of luck. But 80% of the league, it's free. Tampa, it's not. I don't know if it's affecting ticket sales.
Still haven't gotten an explanation from the organization. Well, why they're charging. I would like a statement.
What's to explain? They want to make money. It's a business.
You'll get a phone call by Wednesday, Ira.
We're the only ones that are on top of this thing.
Well, I can't speak for anybody else, but I think it is a subject that bears monitoring.
Now we have all the numbers. What I think is interesting, the Eagles, they only have one practice open to fans.
Wow.
And I believe I got to check my chart here.
One practice all during training camp?
One practice open to fans. That's it. $10 admission. $40 VIP section, keeping it kind of special for some reason. I don't know why they're doing it that way, but that's what they're doing.
Even season ticket holders?
Yeah.
Can't go?
I just gave you the answer.
Wow, so one's allowed to watch an Eagles practice but one time.
One date.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's because they're putting in extra things for the Buck game in week four. That's what it's all about, Steve.
Now, the Chiefs, by contrast, they've got 16 practices, 14 open to the general public, and
free.
11 of those are free. Three of them cost $6 to get in. Okay.
I wish we had the same layout the Chiefs have in St. Joseph. The media's up on an incline, end zone.
Lee, we're not saying this is a major issue. We're not saying it's a major issue.
Well, it's not,
but we're monitoring it.
I mean, Tristan Wirfs is a major issue, but yeah, it's about fans. You know, this is my issue, my main issue, just part of a broader look. Wasn't that long ago that they had Fan Fest. Well, they did away with that.
I liked Fan Fest.
I thought it was really cool. They did away with that. Then they said, when they did away with Fan Fest, a high place suit with the Bucks said, well, that's what the night practice is now. Well, then they got rid of the night practice. I get the coaches didn't like that. Okay, I get it. The weather excuse didn't fly with me because block and a half away, you got a freaking indoor facility. Give me a break. And then they start doing away with training camp practices, opening the public. You know, there's a pattern here, and it's not good for fans. And, by the way, I might add, it won't be very long. They're going to need stadium money. Are they going to still have this limited amount of fan access when they need the coffers filled?
For the small amount of money, Steve, that this is going to generate.
Yeah, there's about 3,000 available tickets, roughly. So $90,000 is what you're looking at for the Bucks for these three dates where they're charging. I'm not sure that's a lot of money to the Glazers. But we'll see what happens next year. They've had it open to fans before. Maybe it'll happen.
We've got to live up to our name. Joe Bucks fan. Mm-hmm. Got to live up to it, Lee.
So, I think this is a relevant issue for fans. I do.
Yeah, you know, those are the numbers. The fans can decide as they like, and the Bucks can decide.
Are they going to have an alumni day like they used to have an alumni day?
Yeah, they got a lot of cool stuff. The Fan Fest that Lee's talking about, very much like what the Rays used to do at Tropicana Field. I give the Rays a lot of credit. This year, with no Tropicana Field, they went out to the pier in St. Pete and created a unique Fan Fest.
Oh, cool.
People out there and players and, you know, just did it somewhere else.
Didn't Fan Fest help the Bucks sell season tickets?
You would think so. Get fans in the stadium. It was fun. Fireworks. They used to have free fireworks shows.
Yeah.
You know, it's really come a long way in the wrong direction. And especially now when you think about how the Bucks, when you see that the Giants are valuing their team at $10 billion, what's the
and
buck?
That's why Eli Manning.
What are the Bucks
out,
worth? Yeah. $7 billion, probably, based on what we've seen other sales. I mean,
I thought they were crazy for paying $192 million. They were crazy. The Glazers are nuts.
They outbid George Steinbrenner. He never forgave himself for that. They outsharked him. Ira, look, Warren Sharp, Sharp Football Analysis. He's a handicapper. He's very much into stats. Used to be on every week on the great station here, WDAE, with the big dog Steve Dumig. Does a lot of really. Hardcore detailed work, but
they're advanced metrics.
It's way advanced, and it's very understandable for fans, and it makes sense. And a lot of times it's stuff people didn't think about or they're not seeing elsewhere. But his gang ranked Todd Bowles as the 14th best coach in the National Football League entering this season. And it's not an emotional thing. It's various data. What do you think of that? And do you agree?
I think Bowles is tough to evaluate. Lee. He's tough to evaluate. The naysayers say your division stinks. You're going to win the division by just throwing your cleats on the field. I think that's a little simplistic. The Jet thing was a disaster. 24-40. There's no getting around it. Wins are wins, right, Lee?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He's done a pretty good job in Tampa. He's built up street cred, not necessarily with all of Buck Nation, for various reasons. Part of it is his style and his demeanor. And he's not going to change that. He ain't turning into Bruce Arians.
No, he never will. Nor should he.
Number 14 out of 32. Well, Lee, there's a lot of new guys. You know, am I going to rank them ahead of Raheem Morris? Yeah, of course I am.
Now, doesn't Sharp have most of the new guys at the bottom of the list? I seem to recall he did.
But Raheem has a track record. You know, 3 years in Tampa. and 1 year in Atlanta. That didn't turn out too well. 14, Lee, I think I'm okay with that. I'm not putting him in the top 10.
Oh, no, he's not a top 10 coach, not yet. You're right in the fact that he's tough to gauge because he wins games. I mean, not enough for a lot of fans, of course, but every year they improve.
The postseason is a problem. The postseason's been a problem.
Well, his problem is primetime games. That's atrocious. And when people wonder why the Bucks don't get respect, there you go. When the league is watching and you can't pull off a one-score game, well, that looks bad.
And if people are wondering why the Bucks can't clinch the division by week 13, well, maybe they could if they were better in primetime games. It's weighing them down, Steve.
There's always a question with him, especially when a loss. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? There's always a recurring question. If you bore it down, it's lack of aggression. At the time of the game when you need to be aggressive, he just is not comfortable doing that.
I think that could be changing, Lee. It could be changing.
Let's see. I hope so for his sake and for Bucks fans' sake and for the Bucks. I'm still triggered by the Kansas City game. And everybody and their brother was like, go for two. Look on the other side of the field. 15 standing there begging for the ball. Nope.
You know what Bowles has to do this year, Steve, besides win 10 or 11 games? The Buck defense was not hard to play against. You got to be hard to play against.
Passing, yes.
You got to be hard to play against. And the Bucks didn't fulfill that last year.
That's such an interesting way of saying stinks. That's really.
We're trying to be polite.
But they're not physical either. Overly physical. They're not. And they don't tackle well.
That's a bigger issue. Not just a Buck. That's an NFL issue. But
defense
yeah.
has to improve, Ira. Look, now you've been running through your list of top Buccaneers. And
Top 50, baby.
Top 50. Gerald McCoy appeared at number 23. Ali Marpet, 22. Vita Vea, 21. You feel good about that?
Well, I give extra points for Super Bowls. McCoy didn't play in a playoff game.
Yep.
Now, is that his fault? No, but a 23 ranking's not bad for Gerald McCoy. 6 Pro Bowls. I think he made an All-Pro. The last 6 years as a Buck, he never had less than 6 sacks as a defensive tackle. That's not bad, Lee. It's not bad. He's much maligned.
Should he be in a Ring of Honor?
Yes, yes. I don't think there's a rush to do it because you and I are James Wilder guys.
Wait a minute. So you think he should be in the Ring of Honor, Gerald McCoy?
Yes.
Okay, so by your logic, the sage logic, Ali Marpet and Vita Vea should go in before him?
I didn't say that.
Well, then what you just said, they're more better Buccaneers.
What I did say was they all three belong in the Ring of Honor. We're talking about 15 years out.
Wow, so you think Marpet gets in?
I think Marpet gets in. I think he was a feisty offensive lineman, and he was damn good.
And he represented the team very well.
And I think he was better than Donovan Smith. I think he was a better player than Donovan Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Sage, have you heard from the Tony Mayberry family with his 3 Pro Bowls in the Dungy era? Because I think you left him off the list.
He's in my 50.
Who says he's not going to be in the top 20?
I don't know.
I think I got him 20.
Wow.
All right.
So I'm glad you mentioned that.
The cliffhanger is no longer a cliffhanger.
That's right.
All right, Ira, look, we're heading out of the podcast here now. And what's really on your mind with these Bucks fans? What do you need to tell people? Because people are very interested in your life and what you're doing and what you're thinking. And what are you doing at night when it's quiet, your wife's asleep, and you finish watching your shows and you're thinking about the Bucks?
Well,
what's on your mind?
The first thing I'm doing is checking out Giants baseball. I mean, I've been a Giants fan since the mid-60s. Mm-hmm. When they're home or they're playing the Dodgers or the Padres, the game's starting at 10:15.
Yep.
So I'm up at 12:30 to see if, freaking Rafael Devers can live up to his billing. Right now, he's striking out at an alarming rate, and they're paying the guy $200 million over the next few years. So that's the first thing I'm doing. Then I take a gummy to make sure that I can sleep.
Whoa.
So there you go. You got the gummy action going on, and it's been a beautiful thing. Then I got to make sure that Cosmo's not laying in my lap under the covers, because then it restricts my mobility. I like to be my boys like to be free in the bed. So is there anything else you want to hear after that, Steve?
That's a bit much.
And then I take my cholesterol pill. It's the only pill I take.
So Cosmo likes to burrow himself on your
burrows
bed.
Burrows in on my surgically repaired hip. But my main focus is that the Bucks have a very good team, with Worth's missing 4 games. Mm-hmm. They have a very good team, and they're going to do well this year.
What kind of spin you think we're going to hear from the Bucks on the Wirfs thing? Well, what do you think they're going to say about Wirfs?
I think they're going to say they listened to the best medical advice that they had at the time. And that's tough to argue with.
Yeah.
Unless you're David Chow. I don't want to hear from that guy either. Stop with the David Chow, Steve. Don't even mention him. Don't mention Jamel Dean. I got a whole bunch on my list.
And now what? I know you always have your meals planned out, which fascinates me, Ira. What will you be eating this weekend?
Well, I thought my stomach was turning today because we went to a fish place for lunch, and I had a soft-shell crab sandwich, and my wife had a lobster roll, which was very good. And then we come home, and an hour later, our stomachs are churning. Oh. That's not a good sign, Lee. You ever have a gripper on the road, Lee? A gripper.
A gripper. I never heard of this.
A gripper. You got to go to the bathroom. Well, and you're on the road.
Well, there's usually gas stations for that.
Oh, gee, who the hell wants to go into one of those greasy spoons?
Well,
it's horrible.
It's either that or you dump one on the road.
Yeah. Or if you're on a highway. You got
to
get off.
I've seen people do that, but I go to a gas station.
Sometimes it comes down to the wire.
Now I've got...
Right down to the wire.
I've got a great gas station.
You got a gas station?
And this very subject, but
does this belong on the air?
I'll clean it up. Right. And it's Bucks related. It's Bucks related.
It's Bucks related.
It's Bucks related.
Steve, this could be a monumental story.
Hold on.
All right, give us the scene.
So I moved down here back in 1998. I immediately bought Bucks season tickets. Steve Kornacki, when he was running the Bucks coverage for the Tribune, was begging me to help out, and I wouldn't. I'd rather go get drunk and watch the games, you know. So I was still my mind was still on Central Time, noon kickoffs. That's all my life. Noon kickoffs. So it's about 10:30.
As an Illinois boy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So it's about 10:30. Like, oh, I better get going to the game. Well, I kind of have to go to the bathroom. Oh, I'll wait till I get to the game. Well, I show up. I get across the bridge, and it's like I was in the vicinity of the stadium, and I realized.
You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it.
No, right? I realized that it's I'm way early.
I'm way early. Yeah. All right.
Boy, I got to go. What the hell? There's no restaurants open. Well, there at the time, there was a Shell station near the stadium. I'll go there. So I asked for the key. They give me the key. I open up the door, and oh, my gosh, was it gross. It was so gross.
But you went.
Well, I'm looking around. I got to go, but this was so disgusting.
Does this belong on a Joe Bucks fan podcast?
I won't even go into detail on this podcast. Then I look around, and I see for a trash can, they got one of these milk crates. There's one. I'm going to use that. So I use that. It's, mind you, it's the second game of the season, so it's like roasting hot. There's no air conditioning in the thing. It reeked like you wouldn't believe. Hotter than hell.
When you gave the key back to the guy, did you tell him what the hell you did in there?
Even better. As I was walking out, a guy was waiting to get in. So he goes in. I take two steps, my back's turned.
You got your car and you hauled ass.
No. I took maybe two steps and my back's turned. I took maybe two steps and I hear, oh!
Steve, what a way to go out.
I can't top that. I don't even know what to do with it. Well, you know what? I got one more for you. You ready for one more?
Yeah.
I got an email from a guy wanting to have an Ask Ira Anything podcast. He likes when we ask you questions and let you go off. So, and I appreciate that very much. And maybe we'll do some of that at another time or whatever. Take some more fan questions. That's always fun. But I have also a guy who's emailed me a couple of times who wants to know. Wants to ask, sent me three emails, so I gotta bring it up at different times. He wants to know, what is the Sage's greatest personal athletic moment with you actually playing? He said, if there's two, give two, but in your history from stickball as a little kid to tennis as an adult, what is the Sage's grand moment that he thinks about?
My high point, Steve, was when I was about to turn 50, my buddy had a tennis team at a Safety Harbor. We played at a Safety Harbor spa. Those courts over there. Yeah, nice place. So anyway, he couldn't wait till I turned 50 because it was a 50 and over league. So I joined. This was, 2005 or something. Joe Gary, he passed on,
He wanted you to get old.
Quite
That's
a
some
character.
Friend.
And so we had 10-man team. It was like two doubles and two singles matches each week. And he paired me with a guy named Dick Lashley, also passed away, from Indiana. Mm. Loved basketball, Indiana.
Typical Indiana
guy. Would always talk to me about Larry Bird and Bobby Knight and things like that. Well, anyway,
Katie.
He didn't suffer fools well, Dick Lashley. If you didn't do your job as his partner, you heard about it.
Wow.
And he introduces me to the guy on a Tuesday, and by Saturday we got our first match. And we did very well. And the guy... He learned to respect me quickly. Now, I was competitive, and I still am. Not in the greatest way. Not in the greatest way. I've been known to snap on the court. Now, Lashley was better than I am, so I can't say anything about him. But even now, when I play at the rec center, if my partner's not playing well,
he hears it.
It affects me. It affects me. And I've been known to just drop the racket sometimes. I just drop the racket on the court. If the guy just hits a sitter into the net, I drop the racket. The guy turns around. I don't want to play with you anymore.
Really?
I said, the feeling's mutual. Get the hell out of here. but anyway, we did very well, and we made the state finals.
Dang.
In Daytona Beach.
Well, that's really good.
50 and over doubles?
Yeah, 50 and over doubles. We won our division, and now we're playing for a chance to go to Arizona or California.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We lost the last match 7-5 in the third set.
Close.
Very close. It was a very fruitful, and I thought playing with Lashley, who is very discerning on a tennis court, and he had a lot of confidence in me, unlike you, Steve. Unlike
very impressive. You know, Lee, you want to throw a moment out there in 30 seconds versus Ira's 5-minute?
Well, I think Lee's high point was using that bathroom in the Shell station. Yeah, how are you going to top that?
That was an athletic endeavor.
All right, we'll skip it. Sage, enjoy yourself this weekend. We'll see you next time.